Blog Talk Radio.
I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down toward your holy temple and will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. I surrender it all to you, O God.
Welcome to Prophetic Prayer Warrior Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Kim Jackson.
And I'm your co-host, Toronto Hamilton.
Toronto, it's been a trying time for our nation. You know, we're not one that really gets into politics.
No, we don't.
We try to keep politics out of our show as much as we can. Because we're about prayer, prophecy, and spiritual warfare. But sometimes spiritual warfare, prayer, and prophecy can actually cross over in to what's going on in the world.
I think it always does. There's always a crossover. Yeah.
But this week, it's strange. You know, we had talked about the title of our show early in the week. Well, actually, probably Thursday, because, you know, God just gives us to the very end and say, okay, I'm going to wait and see what they're going to do.
Yeah, because he changes it just about all, every time we come up with something.
He sure does. But the title is God is calling his family back home. And
Kim, what do you mean by home?
Well, let's go to the Second Chronicles 7 through 14. Let's go Second Chronicles 7 and 14.
Okay.
And the scripture goes as follows. Forgive me because I don't have the right glasses on. It's going to be a little difficult, but we're going to go through this. If my people who are called by my name, let me repeat that again. If my people who are called by my name.
Was that a special emphasis?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
Will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. See, I had to pause there because it's like this is God calling us. This is the call. This is the cry out that everyone's looking at. We think it's God saying no, that blacks against police, blacks against white. God is telling us and saying, no, you have gotten away from your first love.
From him, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. He said, I will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Let me go back because I did miss a part. I'm sorry.
Don't miss nothing.
Yeah, I know. I told you the glasses ain't what I...
All right, Kim, you need me to read it?
No, I'm going to get it. Let me start from the beginning. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and will heal their land.
Let me say something, Kim, which is very important.
Yes.
It says, and I will heal their sin.
I'm sorry.
It's not plural.
But I guess I just made it plural because we have more than one sin at times.
Well, sin is sin.
Yeah, true.
Sin is sin. And one thing, as a teacher, and even my readers may disagree, but the way I look at it, the original sin happened in the garden. Everything stemmed off from it.
Yeah.
And what happened was they were disobedient. And that's the sin of today. Same one. We're disobedient. God says love, we hate. He said don't kill, we murder. Sin. All of that is in that one word. It does not need to be plural. It's all disobedience. And if God says support this and you don't, if he says use your voice and you don't, you're disobedient. And so I find that's where our country is today. We're just disobedient.
Yeah, and that's the reason why we have so much turmoil. You know, I've been online listening to a lot of preachers talk, and a lot of them have been saying pretty much the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's the turmoil, and God is calling us back. And that's the reason the title of the show is God is calling his family back. See, I can understand if If you say, well, I don't believe in Jesus, I don't go to church, well, I haven't been baptized, well, I don't believe in God. Well, you know, I've always thought of it this way. I've looked at it this way. Just because you don't believe in God, that doesn't mean he doesn't believe in you. Because he made you.
Right.
He knows who you are and what you are.
Right.
So he's calling us back. Because eventually, if you want to don't believe in God, you get yourself in a serious bind to where your life is just so heavy. You're going to ask for something to lift it off of you.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, people always say, Lord, help me. Those words always come out. You don't say, well, I can handle it on my own. Then the way it gets here, you don't say, well, mother, help me. Father, help me. My brother is passing, help me. No, you say, Lord, help me.
You know, Kim, I have a brother-in-law who actually passed away, and he was always saying he was a non-believer. And one day, yeah, he was full of his alcohol, and he was trying to straddle the curve or something, and he fell over. And the first thing that came out of his mouth, he said, was Jesus. And I said, who did you call? And all he could do was laugh, which supports what you just said. I mean, even though we don't believe, that seems to be the first thing that comes out of our mouth.
Yeah, that's... I don't want to be political. I'm going to quit saying I. We don't, as PPW, we don't want to be political. But we want our listeners to have an understanding of what's going on in society. You may look at it as a color division between white and black. Some people may see it as a rising of a people. Others may see it as a people that are just evil. But if you think about it and look through your history, whenever God wanted to do a thing through the nation, he always uses a particular group to push it through. I mean, I know that the group that push it through always goes through turmoil. If it's just people getting killed, they're getting beat up, it's just God uses the lower people. He's using Black America to push what he's getting ready to do. I mean, back in the 60s, Martin Luther King brought it forward. We pushed it through, and the nation made a change. But just like everything that happens in this world, we get to a plateau and we stop and say we're there. But we're not there. We still have many ceilings to push up.
You know, Kim, another element aspect that we have to also consider. I've been studying again the book of Daniel and how the children of Israel went into captivity into Babylon. And the reason they went into captivity was because they were disobedient.
Yep.
God told them to give the land its Sabbath rest, and they did not. So they went into captivity for 70 years, 10 years, whatever it was, it equated to the number of years that the land was supposed to get its rest.
7 years, supposed to rest.
It was supposed to rest, but it was 10 years that they did not do that. So they went into captivity for 70. And so it was because they were disobedient, and God says to let that land rest. And so while they were in captivity, he gave the land rest. And the reason I bring that up is he used Babylon to be the one to punish his people for not being obedient. So if we can look at certain cultures, certain people, certain things, and equate it to the reason we're going through is because maybe we have been disobedient. And God is going to use all this negative stuff that's going on to get his will where it should be, which is he's calling us back home.
Yep. He's calling us back home.
So we cannot look around and say, oh, my God, why is this happening? Why is this happening? Let's look within.
And see what we're doing.
Or not doing.
Yep. You know, but as we was writing the show, the scripture that came to me of doing this was the Valley of the Dry Bones.
Uh-huh.
This scripture, it almost makes me look at how some cultures are. They get so set in their ways, and they start to forget about the good things that they actually happened in their culture. They brought them out of where they used to be. So they love where they're at, but they push God on the shelf, or put God on the shelf, and they said, "We made it. We're done."
They've gotten content.
But
complacent.
But even with getting complacent, you get to a point to where you become dry bones. Because no matter how many degrees you have, no matter how much knowledge you have, you're missing the breath or the spirit of God. Because you've taken the spirit of God and you've replaced it with the spirit of self. Well, I could do this.
Or I have done this.
Yeah, I've done this. And that's the culture we have started breathing in this nation.
It's a selfish culture. It's a culture that says, me, myself, and I. It's a culture that says, I made it, you get yours.
Yep.
It's a culture that says, you got it, I want it, I'm going to take it. Just selfish, self-centered, in a negative way.
But I've been listening, it's certain that I listen to online, I just kind of like take tidbits here and there. And they say we have become a culture of greed.
Okay, very true.
Greed, money is driving this culture.
Never satisfied.
Yeah. Or we become a culture of throwaways. Anything that we deem is insufficient or lacking, we throw it away and buy something else. You know, back when our parents were growing up, if they had a pair of shoes where the heel was coming off, they would run it down to the shoe shop and the man would repair it.
Mm-hmm.
In this day and time, oh, I get a nick on my shoe, oh, they're going to trash.
And we don't even think about giving it to someone else that might need them.
Oh, no, I can't give you my old stuff because I don't want you to have the stuff that I had because I don't want you to be like me. That's where the selfishness comes in. And we've become a country. Yeah, we give a lot to others, but then we stand in front of that person as we give it to them. We're looking for a thank you back, or we're looking for accolades to say, "Well, this is what I've done for you. This is what I did for you."
And in some cases, our attitude is you're looking down on them as if they are, you know. What's the word I want to use?
Beneath us.
Definitely.
Like, I mean, they're nothing.
I'm giving this to you. You know, you don't deserve it, but I'm going to give it to you. Or you're unworthy.
Yeah.
I'm better than you. Belittling them. And that's not the spirit of giving that God wants from us.
No, it's not. So I'm just giving you a little history of the reasoning for the calling the family back, because God is calling us back with a heart of giving, with a heart of love, with a heart of understanding. No matter who you help, it's not for you to sit back and wait for accolades to say, "Well, you know, this is what I did for them." Because scripture tells you have gotten your praise here already. So don't expect some when you go to heaven. If you want to wait on someone to thank you for something, wait for someone to tell everyone that what you've done in their lives, then you're not operating in the spirit of love. You operate in the spirit of self. No. I try my best to try not to go on an avenue like that. Operate in the spirit of self. But then also, I don't want to get on a soapbox and start, what do you call it? What's the word they use? I'm trying to think of the word. You know, sometimes you know you get to a certain age, certain words don't come to you as quickly as they used to. Oh, ranting and raving. I don't want to get on a soapbox, but I do want to say this. God called us and has been calling us for such a time as this.
Mm-hmm.
He's pulling us out of these backseats of these churches, pulling you out of these comfort zones that you're so used to. He's pulling us out. You're so used to doing stuff your way that hadn't worked for many of the years. You're telling everybody, well, I'm going this way, I'm going that way. And you end up finding out that every way you turn, you've hit a brick wall, you run into a pothole, or nothing ever works out.
Kim, tell me how the connection between your topic in the scripture. You read the scripture, but what's the connection between God calling us back home and the dry bones living again?
Well, if you notice something is dry, it's considered to be in dead.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And God is what we call life. God wants to pour life, because if you read the scripture, the prophet was being asked by the angel, can these bones live? And he said, only you know, Lord. Only you know. Well, see, God is saying, just because from the outside the grass looks dead or the bone looks dead, that doesn't mean that they cannot live again. Whatever you have gone through in your life or whatever obstacles you experience, it does not mean that you're done. Does not mean that someone has put you aside that you can't do anymore. No matter what your age is, if you're 80, 90, 100, you're still able to do miracles. But you have to remember one thing. You have to be willing to be used by God. Because men really don't have any miracles. Only miracles that they can produce is magic tricks. If you ever seen a magic trick, well, someone makes the carts go away and come back.
Yeah, those aren't real. Those aren't real. Isn't really magic. Miracles. Aren't miracles.
No, they're not miracles.
They're tricks.
But it's in this time we've been for the past 8, 9, 10 years. We have been sitting dormant. We have been letting things watch us in the face and say, "Well, I'll get to it later." But now we need to turn and pick it up and deal with whatever we need to deal with.
Okay, Kim, let's go to the area of God calling his family back.
Okay.
And let's talk about what it means to be a part of the family of God. What is the relationship between God as Father and we as children? And what's missing or what's there?
Well, let's put it in the earthly form.
Exactly.
Let's say your father, and you have, let's say you have 6 kids. And you know these children are yours. You gave birth to them, you sat there and nursed them when they was younger. But then your kids bring friends into their home who don't have that father. Would you have the... What's the word I'm looking for? The love that's in you to extend out to kids that are not your own.
But your topic is God is calling his family back home.
Well, let's look at his family.
Yeah, his family.
Well, the way I'm going about it is, even though the kids are your family,
mm-hmm.
and they bring their friends in, that's their extended family.
Okay.
In other words, even though we may not have been part of the original Israelites or Hebrews. Let me put it another way, because I'm trying to make this as simple as easy, as simple as possible, or what's the word? Not simple, as painless as possible. All right, calling his family back. I'm trying to think this up. No, I'm not going to think this up. Let me rephrase this. I'm not going to think this up. I'm going to tell you what God is telling me about this.
Okay.
And it's put me aside. Because sometimes I get to where I want to give you my opinion. But I want to give you God's opinion. This is what God gave me about calling his family back. If you have been one of his children that he has called in you, no matter if you've been walking in your gift, if you've been walking in your anointing, if you've been to church, if you steered away from church, if you just broke loose from knowing who God really is, you're still part of God's family. Because God has touched you and you know how it feels to be touched by God. You know that everything out there that you're reaching for, this doesn't compare to that love that God has for you. It doesn't touch the spirit or give you that completeness in your life. So you continue on looking for something that's not there. But God said, he's telling you, even though you're out there, I'm still taking care of you. I still love you. But I want you to come back. I want you to come back. My hand is upon you to keep you safe, but I'm calling you back. It may have been a church that you're in that have hurt you. It may have been a relationship that had hurt you. But I'm calling you back. He may not call you back to that ministry that you left because you got into a ministry that God didn't want you in. He's empowered you to do great things outside of the ministry that you left. But right now you find yourself getting tired. You find yourself losing momentum. It just seems like no one's listening to you. But God's calling you back. He's calling you back to the fold in the church. But you have to be careful, because sometimes we get in a church or we get into a family that's not the family God wants us in. Because his family wants to be one that's controlling, want to be one that's manipulating. That's not the family God wants you in. He's calling you back. He's tugging at your heart. He says, you know, I need for you to come back. I need for you to spend that time with me. I need for you to come because you've been away too long. You know, this actually kind of speaks to me, because I've been in a place to where understanding the things of church and the things of God, I feel like the two don't cross. I feel like church has gotten away from the things of God and they went to the things of corporate. And to me, this is just my opinion and only my opinion. I feel like it's become unspiritual, unnurturing, and it's just, to me, it's become sickening.
That's where I wanted you to go, Kim. See, you sitting over there skating around. See, that's the prophet that has to come out. Now, when we go and we talk about the ones that God has called and has their gifts and their callings, and they find themselves returning, and you use the term the church, and let's talk about that some more, because the church does not necessarily mean the building and the fellowship that you find yourself in. To me, I believe there's a church within a church. There's a church that God is really calling to do ministry. And then there are those buildings that have members, and they're really just there more like a member of a social club.
Yeah.
And what comes to my mind is the scripture that says your gift will make room for you. So even if your gift is not accepted where you find yourself, we're at a place where God has said, I'm calling you to me. I'm calling you back to my house, to me, where I want you to serve wherever I place you. If you can't serve in your church, you can serve on the street. You can serve in your studio, but I need your voice to be heard. So he's calling us back. So you're on the track here. You just kept trying to play with it when we first started. And I'm like,
yeah, you know, because you know, sometimes we try to be what you call politically correct.
So and, that word you said you're trying to avoid. Let's do ministry.
Yeah, let's do ministry.
Let's do ministry.
And I think that's very important because I know a lot of people are doing ministry. I'm making a big difference in a lot of people's lives.
And that ministry, Kim, is not limited to a building. I mean, we can go into the grocery store and begin to do a ministry. We don't have to find acceptance by leadership and different people as long as we know we're in fellowship with God. And that's what God is calling us. When he says calling you back to the family,
mm-hmm.
he wants us to return to the place where he is actually Father in our life. And we allow him to be Father. And what that brings to us is provision.
Yep.
So you don't have to have a budget. It wisdom, knowledge. So if you can't find mentors and leaders, he said, my spirit is always there. It will never leave. It's there to teach you, to give you revelation upon revelation. I can speak to you through visions and dreams. And Kim, it seems like they've been speeding up in your life here lately.
Yeah, they have. Especially ever since I came back from the Vipassana. I mean, I've been trying to find my place in an area that I don't belong.
And too many of us are doing that. We're trying to fit. We're trying to get square pegs in round holes. We're trying to, you know,
yep.
get stars in a moon shape. It's not going to fit. And the problem with that is we feel like then there's something wrong with me.
But it's not.
It's not.
It's God is showing you that I have put the square peg in a square peg, and men cannot put you in a round hole.
And they try. Now, you know, you have those mechanics that, okay, this is not working. So they grab the hammer
yeah.
and start beating. And that's what happens sometimes. We find when we get in churches or ministries where we're not supposed to be, feel like we're getting beat down on and kicked to the side. And it's because you don't fit there anymore.
You don't.
And there's no reflection on the place that you are. It's just that God has taken you someplace else and you need to find out where that is.
You know, ever since we started this Blog Talk show, we always said one thing, that we was going to separate ourselves from what we was called to do. So,
did we say that?
Well, you know, we wanted to separate the two entities, which was our calling, as into the ministry and our show, because we wanted people to see us as pretty much as individuals, not with the titles.
That's correct.
Well,
yes.
I've been tossing and turning with this title thing. I don't care too much for titles. I don't care too much for positions. But I believe that God has put us in a position to do what we can do for a reason.
I believe that.
And what's been nagging at me is if I deny him the recognition.
Kim, you're thinking.
Yeah, though. If I deny God the thing that he gave me, it's almost like I've told Lord, I'm either ashamed of it or I believe that man can take it away from me.
Really?
The reason why I'm going this route, and on Tarana, she's
Kim, what you hear about?
We've been talking about how we do our shows for many years, but I believe God has taken us to a new level and a new direction.
I'm with you so far.
I'll try to put this as simple as possible. But it's part of being called back. Because I told you before, when I came back from the Vipassana,
which is a retreat center,
yeah,
for those that don't
yeah.
know. Yeah.
I was trying to find my way. Because I went to my church and I just felt like something was just, how can I put it? it was almost like I walked into an area or a place where I've never been. And when I got there, it's like I didn't belong.
Really?
And by not belonging to it, I didn't feel like I was part of the family. I was an outcast. It's like I've just ran away and I decided to come back, but no one's there opening their arms to accept me in. So I'm just going to have to just walk around and just look around and see who's there, see what I see. But as time went on, I started to see God move in my life and to see the doors he opened. I mean, it got so bad to where I could say something that I wanted. And this is the honest truth. Me, sometimes I'm a bit, as God is my witness, I would tell people, but just trust and believe God is going to deliver. But the problem is, I didn't trust and believe that God was going to deliver. I felt like I had to stand out and do it myself. But God has called me back to show me that he's there for me. And he's also there for you. Try not to to ramble on. But I feel that God wants me to take what he gave me 7 years ago and use it for what we're doing now. And by saying that, I know sometimes you may have heard, if you listen to our radio shows, we have slipped up and called each other with a title. But then we've kind of like pulled away from that. But by right, we have been called by God. We have walked a path some people will not walk because they feel that this is a path that's taboo. But God has blessed us to do what we do. God has shown us that we have been given this for a reason, for a time such as this.
Amen.
So to deny God his due for the blessings that he gave us to speak to our listeners. I know most people, you know us as the prophet and the prayer warrior, but we're more than that. We're much more. We are God's servant. We have been called and set apart. Yeah, we are believers. We've been saved. It's called saved and sanctified, as most people say. But we're more than that. God has put us aside for a purpose, for a unique purpose.
Of which we say yes.
Yes, and the walk was difficult because the obstacles we had to go through to get where we are, it wasn't something that someone gave us. We had to endure. And with endured, we had to see things from a different perspective.
You know, Kim, with that statement, some of the things you're pulling out is to encourage our listeners that when you see people walking in ministry and you see the things that God is doing with them and through them, also understand that there's that other side which brings in the struggles and the hardships.
Yeah.
It's part of it. I mean, it's part of it. But my mind also goes to the scripture that what Jesus said, for the joy that was set before me, he would endure the cross. So for the joy of seeing results in ministry and seeing God fulfill what he promised to do, we will endure the hardship like a good soldier.
Yeah.
I thought about a young lady that God has asked me to kind of nurture and help her and instruct her in her walk, which is a very difficult walk. And the other day she asked me if she could give me something. And I said, well, that would be nice, but let me pray about it. And that all day I prayed about it, Kim, and what God revealed to me was she was actually trying to repay me in gratitude the only way she could. But what God told me is, and the revelation I got from that was, I'm not the one that she needs to be grateful for. I was just being obedient.
Yeah.
I was not the one that she needed to try to please. But it was the God that spoke to me and gave me the words, because she would say, every time I say something to her, God would confirm it and then reveal herself in it. And she said, I know you came from God. I know you were. And so the thing is, just like Daniel in his interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, it came from God. And so God is the one that needs to get all the glory. So when we look at our ministries and we look at the difficult parts, it's okay, because the joy of being able to help somebody. And for me, it was confirmation that God does speak to me.
Yeah.
And that's worth more than anything anybody can give you. So with the calling that we have accepted from God and the call to come back to Him, is just for us to find our place and begin to use it even more so. Step into the prophetic. Step into the intercession. Step into the warfare, because it's God's going to take care of His family. So for those that are estranged and away from the family, God is saying, come on back. I got this. And even though you may think you're dead and there's no life left, He said, oh, no, you can live again. Come on back and get that double portion. I got it for you. I got it for you. And that's what God is telling us. And that's the message that you're bringing forth. Move into ministry, because that's where God called us.
Yeah, because if you look at what's going on now, it's because we are out of God's timing and God's purpose. You have people who are in jobs, people that are in ministry, that are doing something that they may not have been called to do that particular ministry. They're in there because they feel, well, this is a way I can make some money. Well,
whatever reason, fame, glory, whatever, they're, it's not what God calls them to be.
When you see someone struggling with a calling and having difficult times, you know right off the bat that God has called them, and they sitting up there fighting with God.
And those people that fight, those of you that are fighting and struggling, you don't need anybody to tell you that you're out of line. You know this. People know that. And we're just bringing a confirmation, and God is calling you, saying, hey, I need you to get back on track. And remember, I will take care of you. So, yeah, you might be getting a good paycheck, but I will take care of you. The same young lady that I was talking to, Kim, she was telling me how, you know, she needed things for her children's supplies, because it snuck up on her. She didn't realize how soon school was starting. And she's got all these kids that she has to provide for. And I told her, I said, you know what? God's telling you, if you get where you need to be, if you keep your focus on me, I'll take care of all that other stuff. Because I asked her, I said, what is it you would really want to do if you could do it in your lifetime? And she told me, but she said, but I'm procrastinating because I feel like I got to take care of these kids. I said, but no. If you go ahead and get in line where God wants you to be and go ahead and make the steps it takes you to do what God is calling you to do, He'll take care of them kids. And that evening when I saw her, she said, oh, my God, you know what happened today? Someone told me they was going to sponsor all my kids that are going back to school. See, that's God, and that's what He's trying to tell all of us. If you just get back in line, come on back to the family. And as a family, now understand, as a family, we all are different, and God knows each one of us individually. So, Kim, my ministry is definitely not going to look like yours. Yours is not going to look like mine. But God promised whatever it is, He's going to provide for it. So come on, family, let's get back together. Let's get together, because, see, some of us have been stray all along, okay, and rebelling. Ooh. Let's all of us come on and get back and build this house. Let's build this house.
So you're talking about being prophetic. Look like you. Go ahead and speak that.
Well, you know, He can use all of us at any given time in any ministry. So let's just be open and just do what He tells us to do. But let's build a family. Come on. I want my brothers and sisters back.
Let's get back in order so we can get the world back in order.
Yes, if my people
who are called by my name.
Yeah, we keep looking to the government. We keep looking to societies. We keep looking to programs. Mm-mm, God said, if my people come on back home, come on back home, and I'll take care of all of that. But I need you. I need your voice. I need your hands. I need your feet. I need your presence. And most of all, I need your heart. Because if you give him your heart, he got it.
Yeah, you're right. Because you're going to say, Lord, I love anything for you.
Exactly. Love will motivate you.
It's been a time in our lives that we've just been procrastinating to do things. I mean, I'm not just speaking to the listeners. I'm speaking to myself, too. To where you've gotten tired. You're tired of fighting. It seems like all the fighting that you're doing is doing no good at all. It's like everyone is trying to stop you from moving forward. But like Toronto was saying, if you get back and you put it in God's hands, God will make a way.
Kim, what would you say to those of our listeners that find themselves in a fellowship that's actually not utilizing their gift? I think that's the question I want to ask.
Well, first thing I'm going to ask you is, did God put you there? Because sometimes we get in relationships or get into partnerships with the ministry because it just feels right. But my thing is it God right?
So how do we find that God right place?
Get into that quiet place, close your mouth, and open your spirit, and let God show you.
And stay there till you get the vision.
You know, sometimes when I used to get in that quiet place, I used to just say, tell myself, I'd get up, say, I know Lord didn't tell me that. Then you start seeing certain things, people are mentioning it to you. You're like, confirmations come one after the other. Then you have to sit and scratch your head. Okay, Lord, I hear you clearly. I'm going. I mean, you hear people say, oh, this is the end time. This is the end time. Things are just going to change. It's just like the Lord is going to show up right now. And everything's going to be just fine. I believe God is still waiting on us to cross that bridge. Or the way I would see it, it's like that rope bridge that's got the one plank and is waiting on your faith to go forward for the other plank to appear. But we're so busy standing on that one plank and so afraid to move forward because the finance is not there. The time is not there. Oh, this isn't right. I don't have the momentum behind me to do it. We're still waiting. We're still waiting for the perfect moment. Well, there is no perfect moment.
No.
At least not in this world.
No, because our walk is a walk of faith, which tells us automatically you're not going to see everything. But that one step that God is pushing you to take will bring revelation for the next step.
Yes.
But if you never take that step, you will never get to the next place. So our obedience, when he says step, when he says read this article, read this book, go to this store, speak to this person, say hello to that person, start a conversation, don't start a conversation. When we take those little movements, those little things, they lead to other things. Despise not the days of small things. God has a plan and a purpose for everything in our lives. So, Kim, what would you say to the people about timing?
Timing is very important. Because if you're trying to move in your own time, you're going to find that you always hit every pothole in the road.
Don't like the potholes.
No. But if you move in God's timing, God will show you how to avoid those potholes and keep leaping and leaping till you find out that you get to that road that has no potholes. I'm in my walk, I'm beginning to see the obstacles that are in our lives. I believe there are challenges to us. God is saying, okay, I want to see what you do in this situation. Do you just stop or do you continue on? Do you panic or do you pray? Do you cry or do you kneel? Reason I say kneel, because when you're kneeling, you're giving it over.
You're in prayer. And, you know, even when we fall down, even when we cry, that's the human part of us. And we will sometimes fall into that.
Yeah.
And the key is, don't stay there. Don't stay there. Even David said, you know, oh my soul, why are you downtrodden within me? He was at that place. This poor man cried unto the Lord. We cry, but our cry is not one of giving up. It's one of, God, here I am, I'm broken. Pick me up, I surrender, because I don't know which way to go. And sometimes we have to say that. We can't pretend in God's presence, say, I'm strong. Some people try to make themselves have faith and strength. But he said, in your weaknesses, my strength is made perfect. So we acknowledge every part of us, every emotion, and give it to God and let him work it out.
That thing is giving it over. Now, we're being called back. God is trying to show us things in our lives, things that he's shown us many years ago, things that he has called us. Like for me, I was called years ago to have the gift of prophecy. Then God showed me, no, I'm going to take you even higher. I'm going to give you the spirit of a prophet. Now, I'm not one that's going to be standing over you and say, thus said the Lord. That won't work with me. God shows me things about individuals, either things of correction or things of warning, or even things that are coming. Not just bad things. A lot of times it's been good things. Or even peace. Or it could be something that you're praying for. God uses me. I need for you to give this message to this person, because they need to hear it from someone verbally, which he sends me, which I know nothing about the person. I know nothing about what they're praying for. But God has sent me and say, tell this person this. Or, like my sister, Taronda, she may go and pray for somebody, not knowing what the person has been asking in prayer. But by the time she's finished, she's prayed the prayer that the person prayed 2 years ago or maybe 2 weeks ago.
Hallelujah.
See, that's how we've been used. But over the last years, that gift of mine has been going dormant. Reason why it's gone dormant, because God wanted me to grow more.
Those are those seasons of rest that he gives us sometimes.
Yeah, but you know, sometimes it's like, okay, Lord, you're so busy going, and he's like, put the brakes on. Okay, what else do you want me to do? He's so used to going, but see now, he's like, he's turning the spigot back on. He said, now, the way you used to run, you're not going to run, but you're going to stroll.
He's pacing us. We're getting in line with God's timing.
Yeah, and with us getting in line, we're able to prepare others to get in line. Because we're supposed to reach out and show others, teach others the things that God has for them and people that they talk to. It's like we're becoming a disease. We're actually spreading what God gave to us to someone else, and they spread what God gives to them. And we don't continue on until we ignite each other.
Hallelujah.
You know, a few nights ago, and I told my family this, normally when I would sleep, God would give me a song that I always had ran through my spirit. And he would let it run through my spirit at night just to minister to me. But one morning, he gave me a song, or even a, I can call it a prophetic word. He's never given me this before or like this before. And the way he put it was, he gave it to me in a message. He said, my people who put things on Facebook about me, good things, bad things, but these words that are out there are sometimes shameful for me to look at. And I know a lot of people post things on Facebook, post messages, but you have to ask yourself, are the things that you post, are you walking the way that you post? Is it something that you could post up there and say, okay, this is my walk. This is the way I walk. God won't be ashamed of this. But God is saying that he's been ashamed of what he's seeing for the people that he's called, for the family that he's calling back. This is the prophetic message that he gave me. If you would be faithful, his love will be on fire. If you will be faithful, he will make you fly higher. If you would be faithful, he will take you higher. If you would be faithful, he will show you love and power. If you would be faithful, he will give you your heart's desire. If you would be so faithful.
Wow.
I mean, we put things online to tell people how good God is. But then we go out in the world and we show the world how good Satan is. So you have to ask yourself, are you faithful in the things that God has given you? The words, the thoughts, the love, the kindness. Are you faithful? Are you one that embarrasses God and his family?
If my people
who are called by my name will humble themselves, seek thy faith. We have to, people. We have to humble ourselves so we can be healed.
It's not our words. It's our walk.
Yes. These are sometimes things you don't want to hear, but I'm going to say it. A lot of people on Facebook, a lot of people on Twitter or tweet, whatever you call it, Instagram, I'm going to say it and say it proud. You all are out of line. This is not what God wanted. This is not the way that God would want it to be. You have taken things in your own hands and put God's name on it. But God's not in it. Only Satan is in it. Because you're using it to crush others. You're using it to spread fear. You're using it to show others how the world is. Change doesn't come through you posting something. Change comes through motion, movement, telling people you love them, showing people you love them, showing people that you care about them. That's where change comes in. You can post, you can tweet, you can do whatever you can in social media. But if you don't do it rightly, if you don't do it right, all you're doing is harm.
Wow.
You know, God has gave us a lot of things to discuss. A lot of things to share with our listeners. If I reach out to one person today and they are able to reach out to others, I believe that will start an avenue of change. But we've got to be called back to the family, and we have to do things right because God is calling us for that. All right, I'm off my soapbox. I'm off my soapbox.
Good job. It was not a soapbox.
But let me pray for our listeners.
Yes.
Dear gracious Father, Lord, we thank you for this show, Father. Lord, we thank you for those who are listening, O Lord. Lord, we ask, O Father, that you bless their household, Lord. We ask you that you bless their hands, O Lord. Lord, we ask that you bless everything that they do in their lives, O Father. As long as what they do, Lord, glorifies you, Father. Father, as we go forth, Lord, let us be a voice of change, not a voice of doom, Father.
Yes.
Let us help those that need help, Lord. Let us reach out to those who are in need of that reaching hand, Father. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love, Lord. We thank you for your power, Father. Lord, we thank you for all our listeners, O Lord. And these things we ask in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we would like for you to join us on our next show, which will be August the 7th. And it will be 5:30 Eastern Standard Time. And it will be on a Sunday. But as we go forward, I believe God's going to make some changes to our lives and things that we do. But if you have something on your mind, you feel like you need to email us, you can email us at prophetic.prayer.warrior@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. We'd love to hear your concerns. We'd love to put a prayer out there for you, to pray for you. But we want to thank you. And we want to say that God bless you and your household and anyone that you touch, that you pray over. We ask God's blessing be doubled upon that person. So let God keep you for the rest of the week, and we will see you in August. God bless.
God bless.